Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The air didn't all of a sudden become pure. So just to say that these workers did not die from something that they inhaled or ingested or came in contact with after 9/11, that, to me, is asinine.
That's an EMS worker talking about measuring the air quality in the area around Ground Zero. I'm David Cruz, in for Brian Lehrer. Good morning. If you're a fan of TV crime series, you know that detectives have to wait for the coroner or the medical examiner to determine whether someone is a murder victim or if they died of natural causes. On TV, that takes a day or two, and even on CSI, it's just the beginning of the story. But when the homicide in question is the 9/11 attacks and the potential victims are the emergency responders who got sick in the weeks and months following those attacks, determining whether the deaths are directly related to the attacks is a little more difficult. Right now, the determination rests with the medical examiner's office and its chief, who's come under intense scrutiny over some of his recent decisions. The Daily News has called for changes in how the city decides who's a victim, and New York State Senator Eric Adams has proposed legislation on the issue. We'll talk to him in a minute, but joining us now to begin our discussion is New York Daily News editorial writer Bev Weintraub. Bev, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
So what's at stake in these determinations?
Well, what the families are looking for, these are families of two rescue and recovery workers that we know of, and one attorney who was caught in the dust cloud on 9/11. What they wanted was for the manner of death to be ruled a homicide so that their loved ones would be put on the memorial list and read out at the annual ceremony.
Are there other implications, I mean, just in terms of how we're going to perceive those people after their deaths, or even about money in terms of compensation?
Not in the minds of the families. The families of the two police officers who were died, Detective James DeDroga and Officer James Godby, were granted line of duty death benefits. They're not looking for a payout. The family of Felicia Dunn-Jones, who was the lawyer, also doesn't have a financial interest. They just want their loved one to be honored as an official victim of 9/11.
So it's about the perception of how we're going to see these people.
That's right.
Yeah. Two of the recent determinations, the cases you mentioned of James Adroga and James Godby, hinged on different criteria, right?
That's right. After the medical examiner changed Felicia Dunn-Jones' death certificate to reflect a homicide and added her to the victims list, the medical examiner issued a statement requesting that anyone who would like their loved one's case to be reviewed to come forward, and the medical examiner would conduct a scientific review of the case. The families of James Zadroga and James Godby did that.
And Zadroga was ruled not a victim, right?
He was ruled not a victim because Dr. Hirsch determined that the scarring in his lungs was caused by injecting ground-up pills rather than inhaling particles that caused very similar scarring. Now, two other medical examiners looked at the same evidence and did not agree with his conclusion.
But as for Godby, the decision hinged more on timing, right?
Right, which was very surprising. This was not a medical decision at all. The application was rejected within 2 days of receiving the request on the grounds that Officer Godby was not there on 9/11. He did not show up until the 13th.
And so his determination was that because he arrived on the 13th, that conditions were different?
That is what the letter to the Godby family lawyer seems to indicate. It says in part, assuming for the sake of this discussion that Mr. Godby's sarcoidosis, that's a lung scarring disease that killed him, developed after 9/11 and was due to inhalation of dust at the site of the World Trade Center, his death still would not be classified as a homicide or an accident.
In the case of Felicia Dunn-Jones, she had a pre-existing respiratory condition, but...
Well, that's what Dr. Hirsch said, and that was a surprise to her family and to her doctor.
But the doctor determined that she wouldn't have died so quickly without having been caught in the cloud at Ground Zero, right?
Right. Right. Dr. Hirsch decided, and her doctor, personal doctor, I believe, disagrees, that she had sarcoidosis before 9/11, but Dr. Hirsch allowed that because it accelerated so fast, that had to be caused by her exposure to the toxins downtown, and that was contributory to her death.
It sounds like a really complicated determination to make.
It is. And what the Daily News as an editorial board has called for is an open public process, because this goes beyond just deciding one cause of death in one isolated incident. There's a great public interest in how this is being done, and that should not, decision should not rest with one individual. And as the mayor had said, these cases are going to be coming up for the next 20 years. Dr. Hirsch, as capable a scientist as he is not going to be doing this for the next 20 years, and the public needs to be confident that the person who takes over is going to be adhering to a consistent standard.
I'm David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer this morning on WNYC. We're talking with editorial writer Bev Weintraub. And joining us on the phone now is State Senator Eric Adams, who represents the 20th District in Brooklyn. Is that right, Senator?
Yes, I do. Good morning, everyone.
Welcome back to the program. Let's talk a little bit about your legislation. What is it you're proposing?
Well, what I'm proposing is to modify Public Health Law Section 4141 and 4143. As the law currently stands, the State Health Commissioner, he determines if a death certificate has enough information or data to determine how a person dies. Although the city has a responsibility of preparing a death certificate, the document is a state document. And what I'm proposing in my bill is that any 9/11 related death, an individual will have to have on that death certificate how the person died. There's already precedent for it. If someone dies based on an opioid overdose, you have to indicate how that person died. I believe it's important that that document clearly shows that this person died based on a 9/11 related injury.
Why is that so important, Senator?
Well, for two reasons. One, I think that the chapter has not been finally wrote on whose culpability based on what those first responders endured during those days. I think that when you look at the fact that our first responders didn't have proper equipment, proper mask, while they were down at 9/11 during the attack, in comparison to the Pentagon employees, if we find out years later, as history has shown us, that there were problems in that area and family members have to come back and some type of lawsuit is initiated, if on their death certificate it states natural causes, it won't show that there was a correlation between what happened in 9/11.
Yeah, Bev, in this case, this deals specifically with the question of compensation, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it does. And second, it's important that we show with documents, with state and city documents, that individuals didn't die of natural causes when, in fact, this is connected to the homicide. You can't state that only individuals on the first and second day, and the person on the third day, if they died at 12:05 on the third day, they are not part of that continuous event of that homicide. That was a criminal act that took place. The fire that was burning for days and months after is connected to that initial event. It's no different than if a fireman, someone does an arson, and the building is burning for days, and that fireman is a victim of that burning.
Right.
He's part of that initial homicide.
Bev Weintraub, how does that relate to the Daily News' call for this independent panel?
Well, what we're looking for is a clear, consistent, understandable standard for making this decision. It is possible there could be litigation down the road. There is litigation now, and my understanding is that none of the survivors who are involved in that litigation have asked for this kind of review from the medical examiner's office. Right now, in practical terms, there are separate issues.
The mayor's response to the Daily News editorial is his fear that this would inject politics into science.
Well, politics is in it now. It's clear that the ME's decision is based on politics. When we made an attempt to meet with the ME, the mayor's office stated that they are willing to let the deputy mayors meet with us, but not the medical examiner, which makes no sense to me. So to state that politics is not in it, it is. And we cannot allow our concern of liability to determine properly documented incidents. I'm concerned also as a state official. There are going to be many cases that are coming up. We have to address that, but we can't ignore it and pretend as though we want to rewrite history based on our concerns for liability. That's not right. And I think the panel that the Daily News is proposing is an excellent idea. You can have a cross-section. We have panels that look in to make determinations throughout the city and throughout the state. It can be a bipartisan panel. The individuals can understand medical reasoning for doing things. So it is possible. It should not be in the hand of one individual to vacillate back and forth on what's the determining factor.
All right. State Senator Eric Adams represents the 20th District in Brooklyn. Senator, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Bev, what's your take on that? The mayor's suggestion that this would inject politics into science. Is that a concern?
It's very difficult to separate out pure science in such a in a case of such great public interest as this. And of course, there are always going to be different constituencies looking for different outcomes. And the best way to do it is to have people very much grounded in science, people who understand public policy, people who understand how to relate these very complicated issues to the public in ways that are understandable. And right now, what's going on in the ME's office is completely opaque.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking to Daily News columnist editorial writer Bev Weintraub about who is and who isn't a victim of 9/11, and how do we determine that? I read in the news yesterday, Bev, that the federal government is looking into the administration of the billion-dollar 9/11 insurance fund. It's the World Trade Center captive insurance company.
Right.
There seems to be a question over whether it's being treated as a victim's compensation fund or as an insurance fund, and whether the city is disputing too many claims. Is that right?
That's right, and this has been an issue since the very beginning. Congress created the Captive Insurance Fund soon after 9/11 because the construction contractors who were needed to clean up the site said that their regular insurance coverage would not cover them, so they would not go into such a dangerous situation with no insurance coverage. Congress created this fund to act instead of their regular insurance, and what has been happening is that every workers' compensation claim and every other claim for benefits has been fought by the city lawyers and the lawyers they've hired. Some money has been paid out from the captive, not very much, and there is a dispute as to what the intent of the Congress members who created this fund really was. Was it intended to pay claims? Was it intended to fight claims? And the city's contention is, certainly the thinking behind many of the city lawyers, is that any admission of responsibility is going up to open the city to huge liability.
And this money that's in this World Trade Center captive insurance company, that's essentially federal money, correct?
That's right.
All right. All right. Bev Weintraub of the Daily News is talking with us, and State Senator Eric Adams was with us a few minutes ago. We've been talking about who and who isn't a victim of 9/11 and how do we determine that. Bev, thanks for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Thanks very much.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, where not to cycle.